Greetings in the name of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible with you this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, you should follow the directions I gave to the churches of Galatia. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn so that collections need not be taken when I come. And when I arrive, I will send any whom you approve with letters to take your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. As a representative of the North Carolina Baptist Foundation, but also as a member of Forest Hills Baptist Church, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us the privilege, the opportunity to participate in worship with you this morning and also the lunch following. And as you well know, our theme today is that of generosity, a building block of our faith. Well, let me say a word about generosity. Generosity is a beautiful word. It just flows from the tongue easily, and it conjures up images of receiving and giving, joyful giving and receiving. The root word for generosity comes from the same Latin word that we get the word genius, meaning the freedom to create, to generate, to produce. We use the word genius for anyone who has a really high IQ, describing someone that has a brilliant intellect or a special skill set. The Hebrew word for generosity literally means to saturate with water, a symbol of life, the overflowing abundance that brings life to people. And the Greek term for generosity means ready to distribute, made available, to give of time and talent and treasure to bless others. Now, my point this morning in pairing these words is to emphasize that generosity is life overflowing with care and concern for others. It is a brilliant way to live. Spending and saving carefully are wise, but giving generously is genius. Both spiritually and practically, it's one of the smartest, most intellectually sound and emotionally satisfying decisions we could ever make in our faith life. And if you are not giving generously, lavishly, and literally, then we are not following our leader who gave everything, even his own life. Ave, that great Roman orator, correctly said, giving calls for genius, and there's not a more ingenious giver than our Lord God, who gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will never die but have eternal, everlasting life. In essence, all of our giving should be in response to God's grace. His expectation of you and me is not unreasonable. He simply asks that we respond with our time, our talent, and our treasures consistent with what he has given to us. We are, in fact, blessed to be a blessing. It is so easy to take for granted those uncountable and unaccountable things that come in unexpected ways from the generous and gracious hand of God. such an event took place on April the 9th, 1865. It was Palm Sunday. General Robert E. Lee put on his finest dress uniform. He mounted his horse, Traveler, and he rode away from his tired and tattered troops towards Appomattox, Virginia. As Lee rode to meet General Ulysses S. Grant, he fully expected that his men would be herded into railroad cars and taken to prison. And the fate that he himself anticipated was that he would be tried and executed as a traitor. Well, in that tiny room of that Virginia farmhouse where they met, Lee asked Grant what the terms of surrender would be. And Grant informed him that his men were free to take their horses with them and return home to their farms. He further stated that Lee was free himself to go home and create a new life for himself. Well, Lee offered Grant his sword, but Grant refused it. Lee came expecting humiliation, and he left with dignity and honor, and the war was over. Grant stood and watched Lee mount his horse, Traveler. And as Lee was about to ride back to his defeated army, General Grant took off his hat and he saluted his defeated enemy. It was simply an act of grace. It was an act of grace that deeply moved Lee. And as long as Lee lived, he allowed no critical word of Grant ever to be spoken in his presence. The point of that story is to remind us that our lives are to be lived in response to God's goodness and God's grace, whether it comes directly or indirectly. And if the truth were known, none of us deserves the grace that we have received and are receiving. And grace is the reason generosity is the most essential building block of the Christian faith. What else would be worthy of the blessings that we have received? So the lesson this morning that we read just a moment ago comes from chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. And then earlier in the service, we read from chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And there, Paul gives us his glorious reflection of the resurrection of Christ, the foundation of our faith. And all of our living should be in response to this act of grace that God has provided for us. Remember what he said here, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is without foundation, and so is our faith. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Without the resurrection, there's no church, there's no New Testament, there's no hope, there's no faith. And then he goes from chapter 15, from this theological piece, to chapter 16, which is practical. And he goes from chapter 15 to chapter 16 without hesitation, from the foundational to the pragmatic. For he says, he writes here in the very first verse of chapter 16, he begins, "And now about the collection for the saints, you should do the same as I instructed the Galatian churches." There's always been tension in the church about preaching or discussing the subject of generosity, of giving. For some in the life of the church, it is considered taboo, not sufficiently spiritual to be mentioned in the life of the church. But here, Paul, with a stroke of his pen, He says that they are part and partial of the same fabric. That the church is charged with the spirit, with a spiritual purpose, but it must have an earthly capacity. Now, the particular collection that Paul was concerned about here was an offering for the Jerusalem church. The church had fallen on hard times. The Jerusalem church was struggling. And so this offering was important in many ways. But first of all, it was important because it provided material resources for the strengthening of the church in Jerusalem. And then it was also important symbolically because as the church expanded into Asia Minor, it would be a unifying factor here throughout the church for these newer churches that were beginning in Asia Minor to make some contribution to the Jerusalem church through this time of need, this time of testing in the Jerusalem church. And so Paul gives us some instruction here that serves as a pattern for our giving, as a pattern for our generosity. And if we are to live by the principle of consistency, where giving is to be a steady practice of living out our faith, then we can see from this passage that faithful generosity is demonstrated by giving regularly and systematically. Look with me again. He pinpoints this specific time in verse 2. On every Lord's day, the first day of the week, each of you should set something aside and save to the extent that he prospers, so that no collections will need to be made when I come. Paul knew something about generosity. He knew that it was more than an occasional attitude or a feel-good response to a pressing need. But he says here that it should be regular. It should be consistent. It should be something that we make a spiritual habit out of in our faith journey. Though Paul told the Corinthians to give on the first day of the week, keep in mind that that is in reference to when they gathered. He wasn't mandating weekly giving. Keep in mind again that the wages in that day and time were generally given weekly, or in many occasions, the wages were daily. So naturally, he's saying that your giving should be in relationship to when you receive. He's encouraging people to give in the same rhythm that they are receiving. It's quite simple. Paul's point here isn't to fill some legalistic schedule, but it's for us to give the first and the best of what we receive regularly and systematically. Note with me the second thing Paul says here, that faithful generosity is demonstrated by the principle of proportionality. And he gets specific again. From what you have earned, on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money keeping with his income. Some translations simply say, save to the extent that God has prospered you. It simply means that those of us who make a lot of money should give more than those who make little. And as our income grows, so should our giving grow. And if we are given much, if we have earned much, then we are expected to give corresponding with what we have received. There is nothing unreasonable about what God expects of us. He simply expects us to give as He has prospered us. And to me, one of the saddest barometers of our spiritual growth in church life is our stewardship. The reality is, the more that we have, the smaller percentage we tend to give. And if you live long enough and have served a church as long as I have, you will observe many things. Some things that bring great joy to your heart, and then other things that bring sadness. And nothing is sadder to me than to see a person who has grown and grown and grown in their abilities, in their capacities, in their monetary resources, but whose giving has not grown with their capacity. And I sense sometimes that we get hung up on talking about generosity in the church. We get hung up on that, on how much we give or how much should we give. And I think the reason we often get hung up on that is that we often know better than we are actually doing. And any one of us who has been singularly blessed is expected to be singularly a blessing to others. Let me be transparent for a moment. Since I am a member of this church, let me say to you that I believe in generosity and I believe in giving, and I would consider myself a systematic giver in the life of this church. Yes, I know I'm not here all that much. You don't see me very often. But I would let you know that I give through your platform, your titherly platform. That's important to our family because we believe we do it because we're conviction. There's a conviction about that. And we give for that very reason. And we also give because it brings joy to our hearts. God has blessed. Now, I'm not talking here about prosperity theology. I'm simply asking you to take a moment and evaluate what God has done in your life and how He's blessed you, and give out of those blessings that you have received in life. I'm not talking in terms of giving so that God will bless you. I'm talking about acknowledging the blessings already and give from that perspective. I play golf occasionally, as your pastor mentioned earlier. And I played golf a few weeks ago with some old college friends of mine. And golf may be more of a fantasy explanation of what I was doing that day, because it was really a slow, tedious exploration of that part of the country. I was over in the woods, I was in the briar patch, and I was also in the water. But as we were playing, we had this conversation about what it would be like. What it would be like if we were to play the lottery and we won the big jackpot. What it would be like if all of a sudden we became instant multimillionaires. And we discussed that. Well, at the turn, we went in for lunch and I was a little disappointed in our conversation, so I brought it up again. And I said, "Look, guys, we've talked about what we would do if we became filthy rich all of a sudden. We talked all about what we would buy, what we would purchase, but we did not talk about what we would give." And that's something to think about. That's something to think about. I sincerely believe that in the final analysis, in the final accounting of things, the only things from your life and my life that will outlive us are the things that we give to Jesus Christ that will make a kingdom impact. Someone has once said, "To be young is to study in schools you did not build. To be mature is to build schools in which you will probably never study. To be young is to swim in pools which you did not dig. To be mature is to build pools in which you probably never will swim. To be young is to enjoy the branches and the shade of trees you did not plant. To be mature is to plant trees whose branches and shade you will never get to enjoy. To be young is to dance to music you did not write. To be mature is to write music in which you will probably never, ever dance. To be young is to enjoy the ministries and the benefits of a church you did not build. to be mature is to build churches whose ministries and benefits you will probably never ever get to enjoy. That's how God meant for it to be. So that our sharing and our generosity is all about His glory and His kingdom and not our selfishness. Paul says, give consistently, give regularly, give systematically. Give with the same rhythm in which you receive. Give proportionately. And then the last thing Paul says here is faithful generosity is demonstrated prayerfully and thoughtfully. Paul says to these Corinthian Christians, so that no collection will need to be made when I come. Administering the gifts requires planning. Careful preparation. It requires prayerful thought. For when I arrive, I will send with letters those you recommend to carry your gift to Jerusalem, and if it is suitable for me to go as well, they will travel with me. I've been around this church long enough. I've been in meetings and have experienced you long enough to know about you. And what I have discovered is that you, Forest Hills Baptist Church, are an incredibly generous people. Whenever there is a need, you simply sound the call before you, and you produce a prayerful outpouring of a creative, lavish, liberal expression of financial provision to meet that need. Your generosity honors God, and it honors God in an incredible way. And you are able to be generous because you realize the generosity of God in your life. You realize the generosity and the grace that God has provided for you in your life. You have supported this church and its work generously and joyfully. And if this were not true, this church could not have accomplished what you have accomplished together. For example, you gave over $70,000 to the 2022 Great Commission offering. You raised over $17,000 for Ukraine relief efforts. You provided 523 pounds of food for the food pantry. You gave over $5,000 to help with Habitat for Humanity. You raised $13,000 for the Evening with Friends. And the list goes on and on. And I can tell you that this is and has been a faithful church family from the beginning, because everything you see all around you has been given by those who've gone before you and by those who are around you now. I mean, who can number? Who can number the volunteers who have given their time and their efforts and countless acts of kindness and love throughout this community? Who can count the individuals who are giving their time and volunteer work in this church and throughout this community? Who can count the number of people that have been visited, the number of hungry people that have been fed, the number of poor that have been helped and have been provided some sense of hope because of Christ? Why? Because Christ has blessed you. Because God has been gracious to you. Because God has been generous to you. Then that means we need to be a blessing to others. One last story and I'm through. And I know everyone always gets excited about that when the preacher says one more story. It's a story about William Mule. He tells this wonderful story about visiting a colonial home near New Haven, Connecticut. Every room in that colonial home breathed atmosphere and history. It was inhabited by the last living descendant of the original owner, a frail woman in her 80s. And in the main room, there was this grand fireplace with this beautiful mantle. And over the top of that mantle hung this old rifle on some rusty brackets. And he reached up to take a close look at the workmanship of this magnificent piece. And when he did, this little 80-year-old woman grabbed him by the arms and she said, "No, no, please, please don't move that gun. It's loaded and it might go off." And he said, "What do you mean it's loaded?" She said, "My great, great, great grandfather loaded that gun because he anticipated being able to strike a blow for freedom of the American colonies. And it's been loaded ever since, never discharged, never fired, but loaded for 300 years, or almost 300 years. William Muell said, "You mean he died before the American Revolution took place?" She said, "Oh no. No, he lived until 1817, but he just never seemed to be able to generate much enthusiasm for General Washington's rebellion." Listen, no pun intended, but God has loaded this church to be a blessing. It's about time. It's about time, don't you think? This church can change this community by the sheer example of your generosity, by the sheer example of your friendly, gracious, helpful spirit. I don't know about you, but I have never met an unhappy, generous person. Giving not only blesses others, but it brings life and joy to us. Jesus simply said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And I think Jesus knew something about the building blocks of faith. He knew something about giving and living out the blessed life. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit communicates into our hearts and our lives. We are honored and we are grateful to be a partner with you in the world and what you are doing. We pray this day that you will speak to our hearts during this time of response. Lord, we ask that each of us would do a searching moral inventory to see how we are giving, not just our treasures, not just our money, but our time and our talent. Let us take stock. We pray especially for that individual who needs to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For that person who needs to join this team of faith here at Forest Hills Baptist Church. That person, we pray for them today that they have the strength to step forward and make that public commitment that's necessary. And we pray this in the name of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.